adesso parte il tiro, rete, 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 un gol straordinario.
Welcome to Rated This Way, a culture podcast that brings you the latest and greatest news from the world of Serie A and European soccer. My name, of course, is Michael D'Angelo, and with us, as always, we have Mr. Chris Pacelli.
Hello, everybody.
We've got Gigi Julian D'Angelo.
How's everybody doing tonight?
And the mods are asleep, so we're playing FedEx. Paulino Bologna Mangoni is absent. That's the headline, the post. Paulino Bologna, full of bologna.
And this song at his request.
And yeah, that's it. Of course.
He loved it.
Yeah. He loves it, so we chose to play it, of course. Yes, so welcome to the podcast, everybody. We've got actually quite a bit of action that we have to cover here today. So we've got, of course, some European games that happened last week. We've got some Serie A action, of course, a massive Serie A action that happened this latest match day. We've got Coppa Italia upcoming. We've got Europe upcoming as well beyond that. So, we got a ton of things. I guess what I want to start off with is we actually have a discussion point that was posed to us. And Chris, remind me, was this based on or who am I?
Correct.
Right. So, friend of the show, David sent the latest question after getting our who am I right last week, which teams will be relegated and which one will be the biggest loss to the league? So, in preparation of this, I just want to kind of tell, I guess, or remind everybody what the bottom of the table looks like. So we'll go from 14th to 20th. And I say this because 13th position is Empoli with 31 points. And that's actually five better than the 14th position, which is only separated from the 18th position by 4 points themselves. So I think that's why we'll start at 14. So Udinese have 26 points. Sampdoria tied with Udinese at 26 points. And Sor Spezia with 26. So that's 14, 15, 16. 17th, you have Cagliari with 25 points. Venezia with 22 are in 18th. Genoa in 19th with 17. And Salernitana with 15, which, by the way, we said the over-under was 18. We're almost there. They have run the table with draws since we said that. So they're ever closer to beating Vegas. Okay, so again, with that, that's 14th through 20th. What are we thinking here? Which teams do we think will be relegated of those bunch? That's likely going to be those teams.
Julian, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up the table so I can get a closer look here. I think for sure Genoa and Salernitana are down. I don't see a way out for them, unfortunately. I think the third team... I think it'll be between Venezia and Spezia. Mm-hmm. And not just because they rhyme. But I think, I'm just looking now, Venezia does have the game in hand, which I believe is against Atalanta, but...
Yes, I think so.
So not an easy game in hand by any means. And I know Spezia really did have good form in December, January, but I feel like they've kind of been a little lackluster throughout the rest of that.
Right.
I don't think it'll be Cagliari, especially the form they're in. I think I was ragging on Mazzarri. I thought he was finished when they appointed him, but hey, he's done a great job turning their season around. And I mean, if they're able to kind of continue their form, I think they'll survive the drop for sure. In terms of who will be the biggest loss, I'll go with Genoa just for the sake of kind of the more recent Serie A seasons. They've always kind of been a mainstay as far as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
However, saying that, I feel like they also should have been relegated about four times before this season. But still, I always think of them as a Serie A team that's kind of been around for a long time. And I mean, they are the oldest club in Italy, so it would be a bit of a shame to see them be relegated.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if anybody will argue about Salernitana going down despite this turn of form. I think they're, you know, they're headed for Serie B. Genoa, I mean, you look at where they are, 19th, 17th points. I can see, Julian, how you pick them to go down. I just have this itch. Again, I feel like the past, you know, four or five seasons, they're, you know, hovering around the relegation zone, you know, much longer than everybody expects them to. You know, I'll steal Paulo's words. You know, they haven't lost in their last five games.
But they also haven't won.
They also haven't won the last five, but that's definitely better form than they were in, you know, before this newest manager came in. So I can some way, somehow see Genoa sneaking out another shitty season, but staying up. I do see Venezia going down. I would love for them to stay up, but I don't know. I just don't see enough consistency from them. And then after that, I feel like it's between Spezia and Cagliari. I feel like at the end of the day, Spezia will drop in. Paolo will love to hear that because he's, as we know, Thiago Motta's biggest fan. So again, for me, it would be Salernitana, Venezia, and Spezia. So then to answer the second part of the question from David, who will be missed the most? I think I'd have to go with Venezia on the simple fact that they have the nicest kit. Mm. So we'll miss seeing those kits every day. And obviously the picture of the teams taking that ferry or whatever it's called to get to the stadium is funny as well. So those are my picks.
Yeah, I think Salernitana, I think you guys are right, and Genoa, I think, are pretty locked in there for those two relegation last bottom two, I guess, positions. Like, if you look at it, Genoa, again, in 19th position, they are they're 8 points out of safety right now. So I think that's kind of locked in. Yeah, I understand what you guys are saying regarding Julian, specifically about Spezia versus Venezia. I think Cagliari haven't... I understand Mazzarri's magic has helped for sure, but I'm just waiting for that to dry up a little bit. I feel like they especially have had poor recent seasons, I think, as well, right? So I feel like that is bound to break. Just like Genoa have done over the past couple of seasons of maintaining their, I guess, position and staying in Serie A, I feel like Cagliari have done the same thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Venezia sneak above Cagliari, and Cagliari are the ones that end up getting demoted. As for who will be missed, I kind of agree with Julian. I think that Genoa, again, it's nice to have that history in the league, and seeing them go is going to be, you know, unfortunate, because you know, we have we've had some sympathizers for Genoa as friends here. So it's going to be unfortunate, but I feel like it's about time for them to be able to kind of reset and really get their priorities again after they just went through that new ownership stuff too, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's going to be, I think, momentary, hopefully, for them. They just need to kind of make sure that their sporting project is kind of up to snuff here. And hopefully that means that Again, we see them back up soon, but that's that's what I'm thinking.
What would Paulo think?
Paulo would, great question.
He would say Spezia's 20th. Yeah, he's for sure. Spezia finishes 20th in Paulo's books. Milan finishes 19th, and Inter finishes 18th.
My stat in B.
So there's Paulo's list.
Yeah, that's he would say something like, friend of the show, Destro is going to be missed. Should Genoa be relegated?
Yeah, that sounds like him.
Okay. So again, thanks David for that question. We'll of course have our Who Am I on the second half of the show, so we'll get to that eventually, but at least that wraps up that portion. So again, what I want to get to first, or I guess second now, after the discussion here, I want to get to the European, just because that happened almost a week ago now. So let's get into that European review here. So just quickly, the only team in the Champions League last week, Italian team, was Juve, correct?
In Champions League,
because Inter played the week before.
Yes.
So Juve played Villarreal, and they end up coming out with a very historic start, with Vlahovic scoring 38 seconds, I think is what it was, which was the quickest debut goal in Champions League history. So, yeah, the quickest debut goal for a debutante. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Is that too many debuts? Anyways, he was the first, the quickest player to score on his debut at 38 seconds. But, you know, as much as Allegri would have liked to have played Allegri ball for 180 minutes, Villarreal actually tied the game in the 66th. Minute, Danny Parejo scores, and again it ends 1-1 there. So with the away goals ruled nixed, it's again still fair game. It doesn't really matter who scores where anymore. It's just, again, at the end of the day, who comes out on top, and that is going to play out, I believe, Juve are home next game, because this was Villarreal were hosting events at this game. So that's going to be in a couple weeks. And actually, why don't we just get into the Champions League, I guess, next week, just to preview it. So it's going to start on Tuesday for Inter.
Tuesday, yeah, is Inter-Liverpool's second leg. Inter obviously lost first one 2-0. Have to go to Anfield to try and overturn that result. I don't see it happening. The only way... And again, I really don't see this happening as if Klopp were to underestimate Inter and maybe try and rotate the squad a little bit, because I feel like Inter is going to come out with nothing to lose. I don't see a two goal margin victory at Anfield. So I think Inter's Champions League season is done.
Yeah, because realistically, again, they just need to cover that two goals, because obviously, we've already mentioned about the away goal rule is nixed. So if they were to come out with a 3-1 victory, that would at least bring into extra time, but it's quite a bit. Like that second goal ended up being really a backbreaker.
Yeah, for sure. So, somehow Paulo was the only one who had Inter beating Liverpool.
The odds on it were too good to turn down for him. That's why.
I thought they had a good showing in the first game, and kind of same thing again. I hope they don't. I just hope they don't get embarrassed, to be honest. And
quickly, you had no Brozovic, right, in the first leg?
No Barella. Brozovic, right, Calhanoglu, right. And Vidal started. Vidal actually played half decently. They just couldn't score. Now, in the second leg, I think they start again with the 3-5-2, but if they don't score, probably... Well, in the first half, then I think you see a 3-4-1-2 kind of to start the second half.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're out of it yet. I think, obviously, if Liverpool score, then it's very tough. Because I feel like, again, they could probably get two goals.
Not in their recent form.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
I think the first goal will be crucial. I know that's that goes for most games, but obviously if Liverpool gets that first one, I think that basically buries Inter, whereas if Inter get the first one, then we have a game in our hands, right?
Yeah.
Now, how does this change if Lukaku is still in the fold? What is that like? Do we think that the first game is would be different? And do you think, again, their prospects of coming back from two down are a lot higher if Lukaku's still there?
I think their prospects of coming back from two down are higher. Whether or not they would have scored, again, is anybody's guess. Like, even the first game against Liverpool, their best chance came from kind of Çalhanoğlu breaking into the box and he hit the crossbar. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the strikers didn't really have any good looks. Now, again, obviously with Lukaku, he's a much different striker than Dzeko is, so maybe he would have gotten something. But, yeah, I don't think it really would have changed the result at the end of the day.
Yeah. Okay, well, moving on then, we had, again, Juve, and they're going to be the following week. So this was Inter's on Tuesday, the 8th of March. Juve play on the 16th of March. So that's the Wednesday of the following week against, again, Villarreal at home. And again, there's still all to play there. So a 1-0 Corto Musso win would do it. we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Maybe I'm sure it's going to go to extra time. That's my prediction. We'll get there. We'll get there when we get there. okay, moving on to, I guess, two Thursday's games. So we had a few, right? We had Napoli, who were tied with Barcelona 1-1 going into their second leg. And we also had, who else? Atalanta and Lazio.
Yeah, Lazio and Porto.
Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to chat quickly about the Lazio game. So this was a home match for Lazio. Got off to a good start anyways with Ciro Immobile scoring the 19th minute. It was 1-1 at halftime off of PK. Mehdi Taremi put that away. And then 68th minute, Uribe, scored to make it 2-1 Porto. And then a consolation goal at the end from Cataldi. So this match in particular finished 2-2. But the aggregate was 4-3 for Porto. So Lazio also booted from European competition. Big picture, probably Lazio fans probably won't like this, but probably a good thing in terms of them having, you know, a fighting chance at finishing top four. I know we'll talk about Serie A later, but we've spoken about Lazio's lack of depth. So them having one game a week will help.
Yeah, and this was always going to be a tough draw for them, right? Porto are a very strong side.
Yeah.
Do you think again a 4-3 result on aggregate is fair?
In terms of kind of representing the overall tie?
Yeah.
I think so. I think Lazio probably could have nicked another goal in the first leg, which obviously changes things for the second leg, but that's how it works with European competitions. You know, the stronger teams will take advantage of the few chances they do have. So, yeah, no, I think 4-3 is fair in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate. Again, we've seen this Lazio team this year, be kind of, I don't want to say inconsistent. They've just been, I think searching for their Lazio identity kind of all season. And I feel like this competition had at least a potential to give them again a little bit more of a, you know, a victorious season, because obviously right now they're fighting for that final, I guess, European spots with like Roma and you know, they're still in it to kind of reach fourth even possibly. So it's, you know, it's probably a gut punch to be taken out, but at the same time, again, maybe now you're right, they can kind of focus on what their league prospects are, because ultimately I think making Europe is probably their goal.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Julian, any thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like they've kind of just... It's Sarri, right? You always heard Sarri never actually rotates the players. And I guess it's kind of similar to Inter in that respect, but I just don't think they have the depth right now to compete on that many fronts. I think inconsistent is actually a good word, because some games they'll come out and dominate teams, and then other times they'll come out and look completely flat and just aren't in the game at all. So, now,
do you think that's a reflection of Sarri, or do you think that's a new manager, like just issue in general?
I don't think it's a reflection of Sarri. I think it's a mix of a new manager and then their bench not being overly strong.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so that was Lazio-Porto. Let's move to Napoli-Barcelona. So again, I was saying that they were tied 1-1 in aggregate, so they kind of had all to play for in the second leg here, and hosting Barcelona as well. But doesn't go well for them. Early on, Jordi Alba scores to make a 1-0 Barcelona. They get another goal in the 13th minute. Frankie de Jong scores. But Insigne pulls one back in the 23rd with a PK before PK himself makes a 3-1 in the 45th. And then Aubameyang scores to make a 4-1 before Politano gets that very late consolation. So it ends 5-3 on aggregate for Barcelona. So Napoli are out.
I saw kind of off and on about 15 or 20 minutes, and it was just a Barcelona onslaught. I think the score line doesn't even really reflect how much Barcelona dominated. I don't know if Napoli just kind of had their mind set on other things, aka, you know, the Serie A Scudetto race, but they were outclassed by Barcelona, in particular this second leg.
Yeah. It's again, do we think, so I'm going to pose the same question. Is this again, a 5-3, obviously this game specifically would reflect that. I can't remember the first leg. Were they, was it kind of closer? I know they scored first with Zielinski, but...
Wasn't it tied, but didn't they get completely outplayed?
Yeah, it was closer, but exactly like Julian said, it was Barcelona were still by far and away the stronger team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so I think Barcelona are deservedly going through.
All right. Fair enough. Okay, finally, let's get to the loan. I don't want to give it away here, but Atalanta were, I guess, guests to Olympiacos in their second leg. So in the first leg, they were up 2-1. And then in this game, it actually takes a little while, but in the 40th, Maeli scores to make it 1-0. And the second half, two quick goals by Malinovsky actually give them a 3-0 victory. So pretty, pretty routine win for them, it would seem. And they are through to the next round of the Europa League. Is that a great prospect for an Atalanta team who are again now fighting for fourth, fifth position?
Yeah, sorry, I was just going to ask: was it Leverkusen you said they got drawn with? Nice. Yeah. I think that'll be a fun tie anyways, like two, I'd say, more attack-minded teams going against each other. So that'll be fun, two legs to watch.
Yeah, Julian?
I think, to be honest, if I'm Atalanta, I think I'd go for the Europa League. I think they have a strong enough squad to go for it. Now, I know with the injuries they have, that might seem a little difficult right now. They haven't had the best form this year in Serie A, and I think they can kind of just go for the Europa League to try and win that to get back into the Champions League for next year.
Yeah, that's fair. I think they have it tough with Leverkusen, but I think you're right. I think that's a really good prospect for them. It's exciting. Again, they can provide some respectability for Italian clubs in competitions, because I feel like we're going to see, you know, Inter's likely out. We saw Napoli, Lazio already fail. I feel like Juve, it's a toss-up for them. I could see it going either way, realistically. So, I mean, again, at least we have some form of respectability. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's the wrap-up then of the European games this past week. Of course, Conference League was played, but was it played or was it played the week before?
No, it was played. Just Roma had a bye this round.
Yes, so they were actually, hold on, 28th. Oh no, it was 2 weeks ago. So it was the 17th was the last match day. So yeah, they're starting up again. Roma are drawn with Vitesse. So Vitesse hosts Roma on the 10th of March. So that's obviously not this week. It's going to be next week. And then they host them the following week, actually, on the 17th, to wrap up that, I guess, the final stages here. So you have that to look forward to. Friend of the show, Luca, if you're interested in watching them Thursday, you got Vitesse Roma, not this week, next week. Okay, why don't we take a quick break? And when we get back, we have, again, a lot to get through with the Serie A match day, the Copa previews here. We've got, of course, Who Am I? So, again, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. And welcome back to the podcast. What we're going to do next is we're going to go through the 27th match day of the Serie A season, which, hey, guys, we're actually getting close to the end of the season here, despite what I guess Paula will have you believe with the potential for upsets, I guess, to end the season. It's actually, what are we, only 12 games out now?
Yep. Isn't it 38 total? Yeah.
Not even, yeah. So it's right. So it's like 11. After this game, because you got to play the 28th and then 10 more.
See?
That's, yeah, it's only 11 games. Actually, Inter have 12.
Yes.
Yeah, have they scheduled that yet, the makeup game?
No, not yet. I just want, yeah, like I just want it to be scheduled and played so then everybody's on the same level.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, no, they still, I mean, there's a few makeup games and none of them have been.
Yeah.
None of them have been. Said yet.
Atlanta, like you said before, Atlanta Venezia too, right? So Atlanta is still right now or fifth. They could be in a tie for fourth. And actually probably would take, is the first tiebreaker differential or is it head to head?
Head to head.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't even know, do Juve and them, did they beat Juve?
I don't know.
I want to say they did, but let's see what their losses here. Yeah, they won 1-0. And let's see Atlanta's 5 losses. Yeah. So they, right now, they have the head-to-head because they won 1-0. I guess there's the, when's their next match? Did they already play 2? Maybe they already played 2. Because they just played 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Oh, no, that was, fuck, maybe that was a draw.
Was it?
Ugh, we're gonna go back to TVs to find out. Yeah, they draw. So they would have it. Yeah, because they beat Juve in the first leg or the first, I guess, game, and then they drew, literally I think like 2 weeks ago.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah, they would have
the
tiebreaker then. Yeah.
Wow. So in any case, if it's tied in points, that's where we're at, right? So it's gonna be interesting when all those games kind of. When we're all on equal playing field here, or equal kind of comparison, so it's not just that apples to oranges anymore, right?
Exactly. However, we're still waiting for Lega Serie A, which
may take a while. Oh, yeah. Maybe when they're playing their games while the World Cup is going on, they'll have schedule that final game, but we'll see. Okay, enough of a bullshit. Let's get to the games here. So why don't we start with the first game, which was on Friday this past week, and that was Milan Udinese.
Yes. So, as you know, it's been the case for the past, I feel like, month or so. I feel like I'm a broken record here, but you know, Milan in a position to, you know, either close the gap with Inter / increase the lead, depending how you want to factor in that game in hand that you guys were just talking about. You know, home match. You know, we've talked about Milan not being in Europe. And not the game, you know, Milan and their supporters will be looking for. I think if you're an Udinese supporter, it was probably a pretty good game. I mean, they defended well, you know, I think Udinese had a pretty good amount of decent scoring chances. That's not always the case at Udinese. Usually they're relying on that, you know, one or two chances from Beto, but I thought they had again, high quality scoring chances. The first goal did come from Leao in the 29th minute, but I found Maignan to be the busier of the two goalkeepers. 66th minute was when Udinese finally pulled it to 1-1 with Destiny Udoje. Now, there was obviously some controversy here. For those who haven't seen it yet, kind of a little bicycle kick from the side of the six-yard box comes into Romagnoli and Udoje. And Romagnoli tries to clear it, kind of whiffs on it, and it, we'll use the word, deflects off of Udoje to go in. Again, from certain angles, it looks like it went off of Udoje's arm. I can see why, though, it wasn't called back, mainly because, and I'll use an NFL term here, you know, there has to be conclusive evidence. For whatever reason, there isn't a good enough camera angle, at least in my opinion, that clearly shows it went off Udoje's arm. I still, like I said, I still believe that it did, but from the camera angles that were being shown, there's nothing clear and decisive to kind of overturn, you know, the initial decision, which was that it was a goal. So that being said, the goal stood 1-1, flurry of chances towards the end. But again, finishes 1-1 and just, again, disappointing home game, fresh legs, you know, majority of players back healthy, and they couldn't put away Udinese. So again, at the end of the year, when Milan finishes in second or third, it's going to be very easy to just kind of pick the month of February and say they choked in February, dropped, I think it's 10 points now over the course of five games anyways. And yeah, so I got well done to Udinese. I think, you know, the game plan worked, but Milan leaving Napoli and Inter with breathing room here to catch up to them.
To be fair, I feel like there's going to be a couple teams who might be ruining February.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, but one might say that it was Milan's destiny, perhaps, hey, to finish where they will finish. But, I also have this to play.
You win. I give. I'll say. Destiny! No escaping that for me! Destiny! No escaping us from me! Destiny!
And of course, that's Young Frankenstein. So
that wasn't the live feed of the Udinese change room?
Yes. And Milan's.
And Milan's, yes. Yeah. So yes, 1-1 final.
Disappointing. Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of disappointing, let's move on. The next game on Friday was Genoa, who were hosting Inter Milan. So now, Julian, what can you tell us about that?
Nothing. Because right, nothing happened.
Moving on here.
Yeah, like the game just, I don't know. It's been, as Chris said, Milan struggled throughout February. Inter's been honestly just as bad, and they haven't been able to, I think they've now gone 313 minutes without scoring a goal.
Wow.
So, yeah, it hasn't been a great month for them either, and they need to get out of this funk as soon as they can.
What? I just want to ask again, what do we think is the impetus for these teams being so impotent recently? Like, this is a big month for a lot of these teams, and again, there's they've been choking.
What I'll say for Inter, and I mentioned it again when you asked me about Lazio, I think their lack of depth is finally starting to show through now. You look at their starting 11, which I think is a strong starting 11, but beyond those players, especially in the midfield, right? Like, Vidal's okay as a sub. Gallardini and Vecino don't belong anywhere near Inter and need to be shipped off as soon as possible. Darmian, as much as Paolo loves him and said he was the reason why Inter won the Scudetto last year, he's not good enough, quite frankly. Like, when he's on the field compared to Dumfries, it's night and day difference.
Right.
So you kind of couple all that with the strikers not being able to put away any chance. It's just a recipe for disaster.
I guess what I would say for Milan is, my opinion anyways, kind of tactically gone stale, and this has kind of been the MO for Pioli, or just, you know, same formation every week, same tactics. Doesn't really seem to ask the players to do anything different. And I'm not trying to say that every week you need to be coming up with something different, because familiarity is also important with players, and, you know, having references and, you know, triggers to do certain movements. But again, when you do the same thing, you know, 2-3 months in a row, any team with a decent scouting department is going to be able to pick up on those trends and plan for them. So again, doing something different, whether it's having, you know, a certain winger play on the opposite side, or instead of playing with an attacking midfielder, play with a second striker for a game. You know, there's a bunch of different things you can do. So I just think they've, yeah, tactically gone stale, and teams are able to plan, you know, accordingly for Milan, and it works in their favor.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. Okay, let's want to move on to Saturday's games here. So after, of course, the poor showing from Milan and Inter, we had a potentially very important game for Juventus. So they actually played Empoli, and this game was a close one after all. So it actually, Empoli were pressing most of the game. And I think that's really how you have to play Juve. You can't really give them the respect that they want, because then you're playing their game, and they'll outclass you, honestly. But if you're pressing them, you will outclass them easily, because you're pushing on players like Bonucci, who, again, will make mistakes. But Moise Kean makes it 1-0 in the 32nd minute after a cross from Rabiot, and he heads it down artfully into the net, off the ground into the net. And again, 1-0, 32 minutes in, before Zerkowski scores in the 39th to even it out. And just when you thought, you know, that's the way the first half would go, Vlahovic scores, and makes it 2-1 relatively late there in that first half. And then going into the second half, we see Vlahovic score again in the 66th minute to make it 3-1. So actually with that, he ties, I believe, and then takes the lead in the Capo race, which is, I guess, important to note. But beyond that, Lamantia scores in the 76th to make it 3-2, and that's kind of all that would be in that game. But again, a little scare for Juve, where they thought they were clear at 3-1. It ends 3-2 for, I guess, an important victory, because it was the first leg, wasn't it, that they lost Empoli? If I recall correctly.
Yes, they did.
And I think it was a 1-0, a 1-0 loss. That was probably their first loss this season, I want to say. But again, it's at least now they dropped points before, they're able to kind of pick up and steal the points back. So again, a good showing after the top two teams in the league, arguably were shown to stalemates, I guess, earlier in the match day. So again, an important victory for Juve, who move ever closer to challenging if they don't run out of runway. I'll make that big asterisk in that conversation. Okay, the other games on Saturday were Salernitana-Bologna. That game ends 1-1. Arnautovic actually scores in the 43rd before Zertea ties it for Salernitana. So that again ends 1-1. Sassuolo hosted Fiorentina. And Traore had a goal in the 19th minute, which was canceled out by a Cabral 88th minute goal after Bonaventura actually had a red card. So Fiorentina were down to 10. However, De Frel in Sabaja scores and makes it 2-1. So Sassuolo come away with a massive victory themselves. Chris, I think you were watching this game too, were you not?
Off and on, not consistently watching it. Off and on, when the commentator's voice would pick up, I might glance over.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's again, it's just interesting how Fiorentina have been able to stay in games, even, you know, even after a gutting in the transfer market, but you know, their new signing Cabral, right? He's making an impact right away. Let's move on to Sunday's game. So we had Torino Cagliari.
So this one we have, obviously, what do we call him? Magic. They've been in a great run of form. Torino, as much as we've hyped them up and hyped up Juric, I found they've kind of, as the season's gone on, I almost find them a little bit underwhelming. So Cagliari actually opened the scoring on this through Bellanova, his first ever Serie A goal. Came off a throw-in, ball was thrown into the box. Torino kind of fell asleep defensively. Grazi literally just laid it off at the back post, and Saldi didn't see that there was a man running in, and Bellanova had a wide open net to put it away. Now, Belotti was able to get one back just after half. This one, I believe, was off a corner, a free kick. He was just waiting at the back post. Ball landed at his feet, and he made no mistake. But then Cagliari were able to grab the winner shortly after through Deola. A nice little kind of shot from outside the box, low into the opposite corner. And that was it. So Cagliari were able to get a full 3 points and kind of keep their march towards survival going.
Yeah, it's a massive 3 points, right? Because now they are with, I guess, later in the week, we'll get to it, actually, probably next game, but they moved 3 points clear of that last position. So a very important victory for them. So again, the next game ended up being Verona-Venezia, and Verona get actually a hat-trick for Simeone. He scores the 54th and the 63rd. To make it 2-0. Then Okorek takes one back in the 81st before Simone finishes his hat trick in the 88th. So, like we were saying there, Venezia in that last, or I guess 18th position there, lose and kind of lose position to Cagliari for salvation. So, it'll be tight to finish off the season between these last couple teams, I think. Moving on, Spezia were host to Roma, and this game actually was a tight game. Spezia actually get a double yellow, so they're down to 10 in the second half, and it actually takes a PK by Tammy Abraham to win the game for Roma, so it's quite eventful.
And Paulo's favorite stat, the XG, I think it was like almost 5 in favor of Roma, but the only goal they score, of course, what? was that pen from Abraham. So
now, lovely. Listen, Chris, listen, we can talk about XG now because Paulo's not here. Let's talk about the value of XG. So his claim, I guess, is just that it's like nonsense. Is what I understand from him? He just doesn't understand it, maybe?
Yeah, he likes to harp on it when the XG stats show that they were, you know, XG is 4.5, but a team only scores once. Or when a team, you know, scores 3 goals, but their XG was, you know, 0.6.
Right.
He likes to point that out. But again, XG, of course, standing for expected goals, just the chance of them scoring. So again, I think it's a good stat. I think it's a good indication of, you know, the quality of the chances that teams are getting. And, you know, if you're not producing on that XG, then maybe you look at your striker's finishing ability and things like that. Or if you're not producing a high enough XG, then maybe that's where you can look at the coach and say you have to fix something. But so again, I think it's useful. I don't think it's the end all be all. It's just a nice data point to have.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. Like he'll make a point to call you out on XG
every time,
and it's the without fail. Okay, what else we can, I guess, move on here to? Another big game. So we spoke about how, again, the top, I guess, 4 teams are really kind of pushing at this stage in the season. And that's no different, obviously, for Napoli, who have a chance after the fumbling of the Milan teams. They have a chance to take first position in the table. So Julian, I don't know if you want to kind of go through this a little bit here.
Sure. So Hold on, just pull it up now. So Napoli, so they open the scoring through Insigne later on in the second half, about halfway through. Now, I think it was a fairly close game. And again, I mentioned with Lazio, I don't think they have the depth. So once kind of they need to turn to their bench, I just don't think they have that spark, unfortunately. So Insigne scores in the 62nd minute. But Lazio, credit to them, they did keep pressing. And they were able to get the tying goal through Pedro in the 88th minute, which is our goal of the week.
Yes.
Which straight here. Luis Alberto with the set piece. It's a great ball in. Well struck by Pedro. Brilliantly struck by Pedro. It's the late equaliser for Lazio. The substitute has broken Neapolitan hearts. And now, where do we go from here? El Masnad.
And what a perfect segue, right? They've been having issues with their depth, and their depth seemingly would have salvaged a point for them.
Or so we thought.
Right.
Speaking of the depth, I actually think, so they brought on Hisai in the 71st minute, and I think he was the one who actually kind of gave the ball away, which gave Napoli the last kind of chance. So I believe it was Elmas kind of, or maybe it was Unas. Somebody made a move to get by a player or two on the right wing, and then I think they passed it over to Elmas, who kind of went running in. And it was a 3-on-3, and you saw Insigne pull very, very wide. I actually thought he was pulling himself out of the play when I was watching it, to be honest. But they do lay it off to Insigne. He's in his perfect position. Yeah, for his well-known strike. But he opts to actually lay it off at the top of the box for Fabian Ruiz, who hits an inch-perfect shot in swinger into the bottom left corner. And no chance for... who's their keeper? Strakosha.
Yeah.
No chance for him, unfortunately. And Napoli are able to take the full 3 points with the last kick of the game.
Which is massive, because, again, they end up taking the lead in the standings as well. Again, we were watching, and I, for sure, in that moment when Insigne got the ball, I was like, oh, yeah, he's going for that shot. And when he passed it off, I said, what are you doing? Or, of course, Fabian Ruiz made me look like an idiot and stole the game. Stole the game. They deserve it. It's full value, right? They kind of are in the game in a big game with Lazio, and rightfully they kind of somersaulted those two Milan teams, and they're back in the race here after some draws that perhaps had Napoli fans worrying. But just to look at the top of the table again, Napoli are first with 57, tied with Milan at 57 as well. Then Inter are falling down here at 55 points, and not far behind are Juventus in fourth position with 50 points. So do we consider this blown open after this game?
I would say
Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think so. I still, despite what Paulo thinks, I still don't think Juve will crack the top three / I know Paulo believes they're still going to win the Scudetto, but I think they'll definitely make a push for it. Don't get me wrong, but I think there's only this Allegri ball stuff can only last so long. At some point you have to start, I think, dominating teams the way a big club should dominate smaller clubs. Maybe Vlahovic does, drag the team all the way to a second or third place finish. It's possible, but I'm just not counting on it. But I think between Inter, who, we expect, sorry, Julian, to be out of Champions League soon. We know Napoli's
hey, I agree
out.
With you.
And we know Milan's out. So both clubs, or sorry, all three clubs will just get to focus on the Scudetto race, which will make it exciting.
Giuliano?
I think it is blown wide open. And I did, if Inter were to choke this one away, I actually would love to see Spalletti win one. And I mean, it would be kind of picturesque for Insigne to win one in his last more than likely his last season at Napoli, unless he opts to go back.
yeah, at some point in the far distant future.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah. Realistically, though, again, do you agree with Chris there, Julian, that Juve are again, 7 points is significant. I don't want to say it's insignificant, but massive, but it is less than 9 points, which it was very recently. So again, what are your thoughts?
I don't want to count them out. I do think for the Scudetto, I don't think they'll win the Scudetto, but I think they can catch up on one of the teams. Now, the reason I don't think they can get the Scudetto is because, as I mentioned many times, I don't see all three teams hitting a consistent bad run of form where they continually draw points.
And to that point, I don't see them doing it multiple months in a row after they've already done that in February. It's possible. It really is, but it's probably less likely.
And especially, again, like one team, maybe two teams. Okay, you're pushing the three teams. Like, I really don't see it.
Yeah. But my God, would it ever be glorious?
I think it might be the end of the podcast if that happens.
I have to admit, Paulo has me believing. But this could be, with Inter's game in hand, this could be 8 points. So that's why I agree that it's, again, unlikely. And about every week we're going to talk about this, because as long as these teams are giving Juve the opportunity,
for sure,
it's worth discussing, because, again, you know that the team that started the season isn't the team that's in front of Allegri now.
Yep.
And if there's a manager who can, again, squeak out these bullshit, quick, you know, 1-0 victories to end the season or whatever in consecutive order, it's Allegri, right? So, oh, God.
Sadly, you're not wrong.
I know. Okay, just one final game to get through here in match day 27, and that's Atalanta-Sampdoria. And, again, there was no doubt for Atalanta, even though we had, I think Pasalic was in for, I want to say, Malinovsky, is that possible?
Yes, Malinovsky got hurt in
warm-up, right? Yeah, so Pasalic starts and actually scores 6 minutes in. makes a 1-0. Koopmeiners has a brace, 29th minute goal and the 61st minute goal. And Marinčić scores in the 86th to make it 4-0. So again, a very routine week actually for Atalanta, who beat Olympiacos handedly and now Sampdoria handedly. So again, with that, they are they still maintain fifth position, even though, again, I guess they have Roma hot on their tails. But again, a game in hand, and they're with 47 points in fifth position there. So do we, again, just to pose the question, because Atalanta are technically, if they win that game in hand, also at 50 points. Is this, do Atalanta have a shot, as much a shot as Juve have?
I think so. Do I think it's a good shot? No. But, yeah, I think they have the same shot that Juve do.
But you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah.
As Paulo would say.
Yeah. I can't deny it. They've let them back into the race, but...
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I guess there's a chance. If, again, we've talked about this for a while now. If there's any club in Serie A that can, you know, score goals for fun, it's Atalanta. So, you know, to see them scoring, you know, 3 goals a game for the next 2 months, it's not impossible for them to go on a big run and take advantage of those top four teams dropping games. You never know.
Yeah. Oh, what a glorious season we have here. I mean, glorious in the sense that, again, at least it's close, but it's really been a tale of just fumbles over the last month for sure. So it's going to be, from March until what, May, is going to be very tight. And I think at both ends of the table, right? We already talked about at ends the relegation battle. So, you know, it's going to be really every game, no matter even if first is playing 20th, just like Milan found out this past or last week, whenever it was this week.
See.
or last week, whenever it was, you know, all these teams are going to be fighting for points because they need to, right? So it's none of them are going to be easy wins unless you catch Sampdoria sleeping. Atlanta did. Okay, that's it for Match Day 27. So Match Day 28 comes obviously this weekend, and it starts on Friday. So we have
soccer. Inter Salernitana.
Yes. So we have soccer on Tuesday. We have soccer Wednesday. We'll get to those games. We don't have soccer Thursday, but we have soccer Friday, and that's Inter Salernitana. So are we penciling in another Salernitana draw here, guys?
Oh, I hope not.
That would be something.
I hope so.
I mean, Inter, this is one they cannot afford to draw points. Yeah. Last time I said the I said they really needed to beat Genoa and Salernitana. It just happened that Milan also dropped points against.
Right. Easy now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now it's just, this one is an absolute must win. You're at home to Salernitana. Like, they cannot afford to lose this one.
Right. Well, Milan couldn't afford to draw points against Udinese again, and they did. So we'll see. The other, big matchups we have on Saturday, we have Roma-Atalanta, so that's going to be a great game. And then, of course, on Sunday, Chris, Napoli and Milan.
Yeah, I mean, going back to what I said before, February was obviously terrible, tactically stale from Pioli, so hopefully, you know, they come ready to play. Obviously, both teams have a lot to play for. I can't remember which last big game it was. Maybe it was Inter-Juve that was just an awful game to watch. There was one really big game earlier this year where there was a lot of hype and it was just a dud. Anyway, so just hoping it's not that.
maybe Milan-Juve?
It's possible. Anyways, just for the neutrals and... I hope it's an exciting game because, I mean, it should be touted as a Scudetto, a game of Scudetto importance. So, you know, neutral fans who tune in, you know, I hope for their sake it's a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it's a massive game for neutrals, right? Because if either of the teams win, they move 3 points up. But if it's a draw, it's only one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think neutrals probably want, I mean, neutrals have... top of the table implications probably want, only 2 points divided in that game for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, that's going to be a very interesting weekend. So we'll look forward to that. But of course, before that, we have Coppa Italia. So we actually have massive games coming up Tuesday, Wednesday. Julian, what's Tuesday?
So we have our Milan Derby on Tuesday. Now, the away goal rule is still in effect for the Coppa, which is also kind of hilarious because obviously the Milan derbies are played in the same stadium. but Inter is the away team on Tuesday, that much I know. Right. You could really say the same for both teams at this point. This derby could be a huge turning point in the season for one of these teams. Both of them are kind of struggling right now. A derby win always kind of seems to boost confidence and kind of push the teams forward a little bit. So I think really both teams could use a win right now.
Chris, I got a question for you.
Yep.
You can win this game. You can win this whole leg, but you struggle to finish off the season because you got to play more games or because you are more worried about playing a second leg. Do you think that would benefit, or do you think Milan are in a better position if they lose out and can focus on the season?
I think I kind of have to agree with Julian in just that, because the team is in a slump, beating your inner city rival, I get that there's still a second leg to play and you'll have the final to worry about. But I think just the momentum and probably the boost to morale is significant enough that you know, warrants this match being super, super important. Had we had a strong month of February, I might give you a different answer, but I'll go with that.
Yeah, I can definitely see that being the case, right? If, you know, there's an interest team of late. Milan, not so much. I think Milan, we're being a little hard on them. They've just been unfortunate. They've been obviously, we didn't talk about, or I guess we didn't talk about in depth because Paulo wasn't here, but the goal against, you know, was unlucky for sure against Udinese, and that kind of makes them drop points. But, you know, Inter specifically, I'd argue, are much in a much worse position right now because, again, just the way that they've been playing has not given off a lot of confidence, especially over the last 4 weeks or four match days, rather. So this, I would argue, is even more important for Inter than it is for Milan.
I mean, Inter, to your point, they haven't been playing well, but I don't think they've been playing poorly. Like against Sassuolo, for example, we mentioned XG earlier. I think they had an XG of like 3.5. They literally just couldn't score, and Consigli had his one game every year where he somehow turns into prime Buffon against Inter.
Bello.
The other game against Genoa, yeah, you're right. They didn't create much in the final third. And they just kind of looked flat all around. But I think with Inter, like, they're still, I think in their last two games against Sassuolo and Genoa, they put 50 shots towards the net or something along those lines. I think as soon as one of those goes in, it's just going to get that, you know what I mean? Like, their floodgates will open, I think. I think they're just kind of down on themselves. I think they just need a goal to go in, whether it's a beautiful goal, whether it's a garbage goal, they just need a bounce to go their way.
Yeah.
And then I think, I mean, again, me being the ever-optimist, I think they'll be okay after that.
Okay, well, I just, I would like both teams to fail, so I'm not sure what we'll see, but...
probably a 0-0 draw then, in that case.
Yeah, okay, that would be nice. Just to continue to suffer in the opposite going forward. Okay, I can agree with that. So that's Tuesday, and on Wednesday, the Derby della Vlahovic with Fiorentina hosting Juventus. So we saw Fiorentina make it through after beating Atalanta to force this kind of showdown with Juve, who, you know, historically have been very big rivals of them, and of note recently have really put it to them by poaching Vlahovic in January. So it's a big game for Fiorentina. I'd say it's a big game for Juve, but I think they, yeah, I mean, at least if they win Coppa Italia this year, it's less of a failure. But again, I think that just they're on the right track to kind of restore some respectability this season anyways. So I think this game is probably more important for Fiorentina than it is for Juve. Is that fair?
I think so. I was just trying to remember now. Is this the second time Vlahovic plays against Fiorentina?
No, first time.
So, okay. Was he just not available? Because I could have swore that Juve's first game after the transfer window was against Fiorentina. But was he, or am I?
No, I think you're mistaken because their last game of the year is against Fiorentina. Yeah. I remember that was a big thing.
Okay.
If there was ever Juve in a must-win game, Fiorentina could kind of squash that.
Okay. Yeah, they had played, I guess. Let's see when the last time they played Juve was. When is that, November? Does that make sense? Really, it's the last game of the season?
Yeah. Excuse me, because they didn't do this year. They opted to change the schedule where it wasn't.
It's not balanced.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. You're right. So that's right. So May 21st, Fiorentina Juve. Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's going to be big.
That last match is going to be chaotic.
Oh, yeah. That's what we want, though. We want ultimate chaos. That's going to be great. just like actually last year was chaotic too, right? Juve end up on the final match day beating out Napoli, I guess, in terms of points, yeah. Right? Make that final position. So
Atalanta had to be, or Milan had to beat Atalanta.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah. To get to confirm Juve top out. Four. Yeah, there was a chance it could have been out.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh God. Anyways, Fiorentina Juve Wednesday is gonna be great. So we've got Copa, we've got match day 28. We've got a lot of important Calcio coming up this week, so make sure you're staying tuned because there's going to be lots of drama. I can promise you that. I can promise drama for sure. Okay, with that, let's wrap up that conversation. And what else do we have? I guess we've kind of run out of runway here. We got Who Am I?
We do. We do. Just give me a second here so I can pull up my hints / get my timer ready. All right. So, yes. So, a little twist for this week. For Who Am I? This is a manager.
Ooh.
This is a manager. So, we've done, obviously, current Serie A players. Paulo's bright idea was to do... older players
in the England hits
were sometimes shit and sometimes shit. So yes, we're gonna do a manager. All right, so off we go. Hint number one: he has managed at least two different clubs in Serie A. Hint number two: he was not born in Italy. And hint number three: he has not managed any games in Europe. So hint number one, he has managed at least two different clubs in Serie A. Hint number two, he was not born in Italy. Hint number three, he has not managed any games in Europe.
Julian, are we both thinking Juric?
I'm actually thinking Thiago Motta.
Ah, interesting.
While you're thinking, reminder, you have the option of your bonus hint, or you can ask a question.
Yeah, I feel like it's...
I think it might be one of those two.
Both of those are, both of those teams, or both those managers, it could be.
Yeah.
Based on those hints. So maybe, Chris, this almost forces you to kind of clarify a little bit more. So we're going to take a break.
It does. So you're looking for your bonus hint?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm more positioning it as you owe us a free hint.
Yes. You're not wrong. So bonus hint, he was born in Germany.
Okay, so that I don't know. That doesn't help. I don't think it's Thiago Motta then at that point because he's Brazilian.
Yeah, and you're, okay. I don't think it's German. Okay, Julian, who are Chris's favorite managers?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. Never coached in Europe.
I mean, that's likely the top seven managers already out of the question. Right, Napoli has Spalletti. He's coached Pioli, obviously, the season. Inzaghi as well. Allegri, mm-hmm. obviously. Gasp, obviously. Mu, obviously. Lazio, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Fiorentina have Italiano. He wouldn't have.
Yeah, he hasn't.
His name is literally Italiano. But that could be a mix-up. That could be like a trip-up that Chris purposely did. Verona. Who's Verona?
Tudor.
Yeah.
I don't know if he coached anywhere else because he was with Juve prior, but I don't know. I feel like he had a stint somewhere else, but I don't know.
I think he was in Galatasaray, wasn't he, at one point? I don't know. Maybe him too. But is he German or was he born in Germany? That's probably not. Tudor, isn't he? He's like.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just over 2 minutes left.
Okay. I think it's going to be one of the Italian coaches because, I mean,
yeah,
Germany's not too far.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I like Italiano if you like Italiano.
Chris likes Italiano, so I think that's probably a good shout.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll go with.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, final answer.
Well done, gentlemen.
Yay!
Good critical thinking there. Good teamwork.
I feel like we're better at critical thinking with Hope Paulo. Actually, to be fair to Paulo, though, he actually stumbles on the answers somehow very well. So
he does.
Yeah, I think he could have gotten that.
He finds a way.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I didn't know. Of course, the not born in Italy part was supposed to throw you off, and I'm glad it did.
Oh,
I did not know he's born in. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to pronounce the city. It starts with a K. Karlsruhe. Anyways, yeah. Born in Germany. Spezia and Fiorentina, of course, were his two Serie A clubs. And as you guys mentioned, he hasn't managed in Europe yet.
Yet.
Yes. Yet. Yes. Yet. He might get that opportunity.
Exactly.
Would be very interesting. Wow. Okay. I'm actually, I'm surprised. I like the change up, though. I like the.
Yeah, a little curveball.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Very, very happy with that. Okay, great. Well, that is it. Anything that we missed that we want to say before we wrap up, either of you guys?
I have a quick, I forgot to mention for the Copa game, Gosens is actually in the squad. So we may get to see the Gosens debut Tuesday.
Gosens go?
Was he injured or was it COVID?
He was injured.
Okay.
He hasn't played in, I think, like 4 months. I think it's something like that. But
yeah.
He's been named to the squad tomorrow. Same with Correa, actually. So we'll see how long he can last this time around before getting hurt.
Yeah.
Ooh, cool.
It's bound to happen. nothing really new. I guess what I'll go towards is Steven Eustachio. So Canadian men's national team. We've mentioned he's with Porto a few days ago. I don't know if it was his first start, but he got the start and less than 30 minutes in, I believe it was the first half. Yeah, it was the first half. He got subbed out and he was not injured. So naturally, like any player would be, he was quite pissed off. And, you know, Canada soccer Twitter sphere was kind of going off on the Porto manager. I think it's Conceição for taking him off. So hopefully his career at Porto turns around. It hasn't been the best of starts, just between minimal playing time and then getting subbed 30 minutes into a game. So hoping it turns around for him.
Is it, does he have potential to move to Milan? Like, well, actually, Milan, the city, because David perhaps might be.
Maybe. Package deal.
Think about it.
Package deal. And Alfonso Davies. All three of them.
And Milan Borjan.
Yeah, we'll take him.
Hey, I'll take him too.
I'll take him. I still want to get those pants.
And with a name like that, you guys can split them.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, well, Fort's right this way. Paulo, of course, will be kicking himself for not being able to talk garbage on the Milan teams this week, but, you know, that's on him. We do want to wish him, though, a very happy birthday. Of course, it was his birthday this week.
Yay. So,
bravo, Paulo.
Bravo.
Another year. Bravo.
He's 22 now?
Yeah, like Taylor Swift. again, as I'm sure people will tell us, we miss Paul this week for sure. He's always he's a light in our life, guys. He absolutely is. We would love to have him on board because he makes us laugh and he is also crazy, and that's the best.
I can already hear him cussing because he's gonna listen to this to edit it, and we're gonna miss something or we said something wrong.
Yeah.
And I can hear him cussing as he's going through it.
We doxed his birthday, so he's going to be pissed. Oh, God. Okay, well, with that, we'll call it an episode. Again, we'll see you all next week after some very important matches have been played. And we'll be back with, of course, the recaps and hopefully Mr. No Baloney Mangoni himself to provide some much needed commentary. So we will see you all next week. Ciao.